The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Plasma One, that's what you want to do with your life. Sarah Spade, Kevin Black, and Stone June Lee. UConn Villanova last night. Great game, great finish. Are you making that charge call?
What charge call?
UConn coach Danny Hurley, second technical and an ejection for ramping up the crowd. Are you ejecting for a ramp up?
Go.
Let's go.
That's a ramp up.
It's ramp season. Let's start with the latest on talks between Major League Baseball and the players. We have June Lee covering it for this very network. We'll start with you, Mr. June Lee. But first, for script purposes, the latest? Nothing. Squadoosh is the latest. It's February 23rd. Pitchers and catchers were to report. Spring training games are supposed to start next Saturday, June. What do we have today?
I'm not really optimistic about the season starting on time right now because the league and the union are operating in two completely different economic paradigms. The players want to be paid earlier. Guys are coming up earlier in their career because Fernando Tatis Jr., Vladdy Jr. are having success at ages 21, 22 in a way that hasn't happened in the past. And as a result, you've seen these teams that aren't incentivized to spend on the middle class of baseball players. Not the superstars, not the rookies, but the guys who have spent 7 years kind of building up towards free agency, working through arbitration to get that contract and then not getting it. And as a result, we're seeing a lot of teams tank. We're seeing a lot of teams not wanting to put out competitive teams because of the way that the system has been incentivized for these teams to build their rosters. And so the players are very, very stubborn about wanting to make the game more competitive and having teams spend more money. And the league has been making a lot of money, and so they're incentivized at this current moment to kind of stick with the system as it is.
So paradigmatically speaking, they're far off. But talk to me like I'm a five-year-old, June. What are we really saying here? What's separating them? The millions, the competitive balance tax, what's separating them?
It's the way that the money is incentivized to spread around the sport because players like, again, like Fernando Tatis Jr. or Vladdy Jr., who are coming up at early and earlier ages, are performing at such a high level, teams are paying them $400,000, $500,000 before they sign the contract extensions. And as a result, aren't incentivized to spend on a veteran or clubhouse leader who maybe may not be a superstar, but is someone who has kind of put in their service time and are instead kind of relying on the younger players that are coming up to minimize the amount of money that they're spending on a roster.
Tim Kalishaw, June said he doesn't expect the season to start on time. He's pessimistic. Are you equally pessimistic? Are you realistic?
I'm a little more optimistic just because in the past I feel like they were fighting over bigger things, real free agency. Now there's all these different smaller piles of money, the luxury tax money. How many teams are going to be in the lottery? How many players are going to qualify for this 2+ arbitration? And they're far apart, but they can find the middle ground. A mediator can help them find the middle ground. It is not worth missing games for either side to drag this into April, and I don't think they are going to do that.
Sarah Spain, can you start there? Tim says it's not worth it for either side to miss games.
I disagree. I think it's absolutely worth it for the players. I think when you are in negotiations in any sort of lockout with ownership where they have lengthy decades of time to make the money off of being in ownership and being at those levels, when a player, even a baseball player's career, is simply not long enough, that's always the leverage that they're going to have. So if you're not willing to miss a few games here and to really put the onus on the ownership to meet you as much money as they've been making, and for all the reasons that June pointed out, then you're going to lose every single time. So it's absolutely worth it for the players to miss some games. As the only panelist here who had tickets to this weekend's games already canceled and also has tickets to next weekend's games not yet canceled, I am also trying to be optimistic, but it's also because of that COVID season and the money lost there and the expectation that at some point baseball cannot continue to rely on the fact that previous generations of players were not willing to put their foot down. This generation might be the one that says, if we don't do it, we're going to keep sliding and losing.
AB, are you as pessimistic as some on this panel, or are you optimistic as, I guess, Kalishaw on this panel?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say I am a season ticket holder, and I'm a little ticked off that I'm not going to the games right now, even though my ticket prices have gone up 23% over just last year, and these guys are in here arguing over a coffee table
about how they're
going to spread the money around. I'm more with Sarah here on the aspect of the players. I think they need to hold out. Their salaries have been squashed since, 2015? You know what? This is a lockout. This is not a strike. The players are ready to play. It's the owners who are not ready to let them play ball. And they've made a ton of money, as everyone has pointed out, and they have controlled that money. They have controlled the old system, and these players need to break it. And I do think with the billions of dollars that the owners have lost over the last couple of years because of COVID, that they are going to be moved to make a deal so they don't have to lose billions more by watching their stadiums go empty.
From a fan's perspective, everybody always wants to pit sides here. Who do you believe looks worse in all this, or is it just complete and utter disarray and everybody a failure for everybody, June?
Well, I think it looks worse for the owners right now, partially because I think the players have more of a platform than they used to with social media to speak up about the demands that they have at the negotiating table right now than they have in the past. And so I think that, at least from a kind of PR standpoint, the players have a kind of a bigger footprint in kind of shaping how we talk about the negotiations between billionaires and millionaires. I think it also ties into the larger narrative around our country right now. We're talking about how the billionaires are controlling a lot of different industries in our country and the gap between billionaires and millionaires across all industries.
There was a ban word in there. You're going to lose a point for that, Mr. Lee. Last word, Kalishaw. In the past, do you believe fans sided with ownership or players, and do you believe this year is different?
It may depend on where you live. Down here, they don't tend to side with the players very often, but maybe it's different in unionized cities. I'm not sure.
We've been horned. We'll move on. UConn 71, Villanova 69. It was a great game. Thrilling finish. R.J. Cole hit a floater on one end, and then he was the one taking the charge on the other end. Whether you make that call, I'll ask in a second. Providence now controls destiny in the conference. About the ejection in the first half for UConn coach Danny Hurley, tech number one was given for arguing. You've seen this before. You've seen coaches try to ramp up the crowd before, but he got a technical four here. Number two, he was ejected. Tim, start with the charge on the decisive play. You calling a game-ending whistle there?
It's kind of a sloppy play, but I almost never give credence to the defenders. I think that the college rule allows for them to set too late compared to the NBA rule, and I think a lot of offensive teams get penalized. That one was kind of off-balanced, but he didn't really run over the defender. He just kind of, there was a collision, and the shooter may have even been fouled. I wouldn't have called it an offensive charge.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, I completely agree. He wasn't set. He got him on the arm. And at this point, you're making it too easy for guys to stop playing defense and to just slide in at the last second and hope that their flop draws the call. How about we incentivize playing defense?
All right. Incentivize. That's been a word of the day. It's approaching ban status. Kevin Blackstone, how about you? No.
Well, you know, I absolutely hate that call. I hate that they put the half moon in there for guys to jump out in front. Somebody's going to get seriously hurt sooner or later. Why can't we just have a no call on that? You're trying to make a bucket. Another guy is trying to draw. He's not trying to play defense. Let's get that clear. He's trying to draw a foul call. That's not part of basketball, really, at that particular point. So make him swallow the whistle.
It's possible the offensive player, Connor Gillespie, was also trying to draw a foul there. June Lee, I'll bring you in here and what you saw and whether you're blowing that whistle.
Yeah, I really don't like this call just because I don't think the guy's feet were set. And even on top of that, if you're going to kind of play into the flopping, it's not even a good flop. It wasn't even dramatic. Mm-hmm. There was no theatrics to it. Like, he was just kind of falling over as if his like chair was tumbling backwards at the dinner table.
Is ramping up the crowd second ejection worthy? Let me ask you that question now, Tim Kalishaw.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised he got ejected. That was pretty demonstrative. It reminded me of some of the antics of the late Billy Tubbs, the things he would do when he was having trouble with the officials. I don't know about the first technical, but once you get the first one, If you want to stay in the game, you need to be a little more careful. And that clearly Danny Hurley wasn't that.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, normally ramping up the crowd is not technical or ejection worthy, but nothing happens in a bubble except for the Lakers championship. So, of course, they're going to have to react to the fact that you've just gotten teed up and you've essentially physically talked smack back to the official by then engaging the crowd in that way. That was an inevitability after
you've
just
gotten teed
up. KB,
you see it that way?
Yeah, I see it that way too. But you know what? At the end of the day, he gets tossed, and what happens to his team at the end of the game? Somehow, some way, they got it. Maybe that was the incentive that
okay.
they needed.
Or banning. I mean, you actually dropped in another phrase before that. That's also a banned phrase. I wish there was a way to track this. June Lee, last word here on whether you think ramping up the crowd's objection worthy.
I mean, why are we being the fun police?
Thank you, June. Thank you.
Why are we litigating this kind of stuff? Just let him pump up the crowd. It's sports. We're supposed to be enjoying all of this. As long as people aren't throwing stuff onto the court, like, let the crowd be pumped up. Like, it's a fun moment in that game.
Absolutely. It was for entertainment purposes. There you go, June Lee. You got the lead. I incentivized right there somebody taking the fans' perspective. You guys are really pushing buttons
the
today.
The fans' perspective? We didn't tee up the fans.
Every fan at the game cheered when the
showing
coach
up the official.
Sarah Spain, it was a great moment. If that's not home court advantage, why even have a home court? Let's go around the horn.
Around the Horn is brought to you by the stylish Lexus RX. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Our friend Ramona Shelburne, when not posting photos standing next to Liz Cambage. Look at that. Also, it's incredible. When she's not doing that, she's reporting Ben Simmons will ramp it up this week for the Brooklyn Nets. Everybody's ramping these days. Also ramping, James Harden, Philly debut Friday. News of the day from New York City. The mayor's office plans to phase out the vaccine mandate in the city in the coming weeks. And from the Brooklyn Nets perspective, that would clear Kyrie Irving for home games. Sarah Spain, how does all that ramp up the Eastern Conference?
I'm usually not a hater, but I do have to say it feels like I don't know what lessons we're learning when these three folks have made some questionable decisions, mm-hmm. and it feels like they're all winning. It's all working out. That being said, I'm interested to see the Simmons fit. I think there will be that time necessary for him to physically and mentally get ready to play, so I don't know that that will immediately help. Whereas James Harden, that fit with Embiid got to happen pretty fast for them to feel confident. And I think that packed top of the East will really start to show itself once these teams have a chance to gel.
Well, you're not willing to say it shows itself now with news that Irving could be available for home games. Blackiston, no. How about you?
Mm-mm.
I mean, the Nets are eighth, and the stick that stirs the drink for the Nets is Kevin Durant. So it's his health, it's his availability, it's his ability to play night in and night out that I think makes a difference for the Nets. I don't move them up. I still think the Bucks, and I still think the 76ers are the best in the East, and I don't think anything has changed. I think the problem for the 76ers is fitting in a guy like James Harden, who appears to want his way, and whether or not he can make that team better or make it even
Tim
worse.
Tim Kalashaw, is that a furrowed brow I see in Plasma One?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think there is a top in the East, and I think Brooklyn gets right into that discussion. I thought they won the trade when it was made, but I thought the winning started next year and that Philly would have a one-year window to try to do something with Harden. But if Simmons is playing and Kyrie's going to play every day and Durant's coming back from his injury soon, these guys are going to be fresh when the playoffs begin.
Definitely very fresh. They have to ramp up, but very fresh. June Lee, how about you?
I don't really see this changing the playoff picture much because I think that Giannis and the Bucks are the top dog in the East, and we're playing musical chairs with the rest of the seeds here. Simmons and Kyrie and KD, like, potentially could be a good fit. We need to see that actually play out on the court and see how that chemistry works. I'm a little bit more skeptical about Harden and Embiid's fit together, and they really need to win now just given that they have to maximize Embiid's historic season and the fact that there's kind of an urgency there with Harden, whether or not he can actually be the number two to Joel Embiid, and if that can actually be a good fit. But I think Giannis is still the guy in the East.
And Sarah, is that a furrowed brow? Are we forgetting a team in the conference?
I mean, I just think it's worth noting that we do not know what the Bulls look like when they have Ball and Caruso on the perimeter, which completely changes their defense. And so all the games we've seen them, especially against primary defense, great.
Okay, so
like
Caruso is bigger than Kyrie Irving? Okay.
Bulls topic.
Sure, absolutely. Yep.
Actually, we just penalized every other team for not knowing how they're going to fit, and you want to give credit for Chicago because we don't know how Caruso.
No, we do know how they fit, and it looked fantastic. They've been gone, and when they're back,
sounds like somebody has a radio show. Well, we're going to move on. Great. Phil Mickelson's statement of apology for his comments last week. Let's talk about this. First, what he said about golf playing and partnering with investors and planners in Saudi Arabia. They're scary mother bleepers to get involved with. We know they killed Khashoggi and have a horrible record on human rights. Execute people over there for being gay. Knowing all of this, why would I even consider it? Because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reshape how the PGA Tour operates. Now, his most recent statement, though it doesn't look this way now given my recent comments, my actions throughout this process have always been with the best interests of golf, my peers, sponsors, and fans. There is the problem of off-the-record comments being shared out of context without my consent, but the bigger issue is I used words that don't reflect my true feelings and intentions. I was reckless, or it was reckless. I offended people, and I'm deeply sorry. Alan Shipnuck, who posted the original excerpt, said Mickelson knew he was working on a book about him, was asked to speak and discuss media rights, and it led back to, inevitably, Saudi Arabia. Mickelson, in the last week, has now lost sponsorship deals. And it's interesting because of conversations we've had on this show in the last month, the decision to host the Olympics in China, IOC's decision, where sponsorships didn't leave, a conversation about human rights as well. Tim Kalisha, how do you consider it all?
You know, I think Phil has skated along the edge of controversy a lot in his career, including that time he had to give $900,000 back after that SEC investigation. This is one time when fans are going to look at him differently. This was complete greed, and he can try to call it something else, fixing the PGA Tour and how it operates, but that's not what it was. And with his apology, he seemed to take every apology he's ever read and just paste different parts together and see if anybody's buying it, and I don't think anybody will, or nor should they.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, it would be bad enough if he used vagaries to describe his concerns with the Saudis, but he spelled them all out. And then, in the same breath, said it's all worth it for my benefit and for changing the tour. I think when you verbalize that, it's impossible to try to walk it back, and he's going to find that out by the way people react to this.
This country and globally, sanctions against Saudi Arabia in the last year. We've seen that with China, too, and how business and human rights came together. And the Olympics and the IOC went forward. Kevin, how do you consider it here when it's one person, one face saying it?
Well, it is one person, one face representing it. But the problem is that this was Saudi money, which was going to be used to bring in golf to really cover up or sports wash all of their heinous crimes. We know that this country just passed sanctions against this against Saudi Arabia just a year ago after the investigation into Khashoggi's murder. And we've seen this before in sport after sport around the country. We just saw this with the Olympics in China. That was a decision that the IOC could
Right. have made. The IOC went forward with that in the face of the worst grievances and human rights violations and genocide. And sponsors did not pull out of the Olympics. Countries did not pull out of the Olympics. FIFA going forward in Qatar, Kevin. Now you're seeing Phil Mickelson talk about this, and he's losing those sponsors.
Well, it's because it's harder for people to pull out of institutional things rather than, you know, us to criticize one person. That's the big difference here. But we as fans need to put our foot down and say enough is enough.
Brunley.
And just to build off everything else that everyone else has said, it's completely unprofessional that Phil Mickelson threw Alan Shipnuck under the bus here. Like, he's been in this industry long enough to know on the record, off the record. He's kind of dealt with the media. He's worked in the media to know how all of this works. And so when you say something that is, you know, makes you look really bad and you can't put that back into the bag, you know, throwing the journalists on the bus is a completely unprofessional, bad way to go about handling all this.
Tim Kalishaw, Sarah Spain, thanks for your thoughts today. Kevin Blackstone, June Lee, a showdown in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Blackstone and Lee in showdown. Good luck. Alex Zverev kicked out of the Mexican Open for unsportsmanlike conduct. Here it is. An argument earlier in the match. And then the racketing of the ump's chair after. Is a DQ enough here, Kevin Blackstone?
No, absolutely not. I mean, seriously, where are the gendarmes? That guy has lost it. I mean, that's an offense that should have him suspended from the tour for a little bit here. That's unbecoming of any athlete. Mm-hmm. Come on.
You could call it racketeering, if I may say so myself.
You could. Thank you very much, June. I thought maybe there would be a little bit more there. Kevin Blackstone gets the point. We'll move on. Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Rita Moreno, Sally Field starring in a movie called 80 for Brady. It's a road trip movie, and it's produced by Tom Brady and will include Tom Brady acting. What would you call this, June?
The TV12 method? Like, I'm just waiting for this movie to devolve into a Jazzercise exercise video where Tom Brady is exclaiming the glory of pliability.
Uh-huh. Blackstone?
I would call this something I didn't see coming. I mean, Tom Brady, just take a break for a while. Now you're rolling up all of our old TV stars and movie stars to make some movie? What is this about? I'm not going to see it. This is Oscar season. I'm not watching that.
I'm still on June. I did not saw your jump there, June. I apologize. But Blackstone's getting the FaceTime.
Thank you very much. Ah, beginning one of my favorite parts of the sports calendar. What is it? It's high school state basketball tournaments kicking off all around the country this week, next weekend. Go out and see these kids play before they become big college stars, or don't become college stars at all. I've seen them in Texas. I've seen them in Massachusetts, Illinois, D.C., Maryland, other states and cities. It is one of the great times. Go see the girls as well. Got to see the girls. Sidwell Friends here in Washington, D.C., undefeated, number one in the country. And Tim, nice. Tim knows that because they beat DeSoto with seven All-Americans.
Oh.
Yeah, take that.